You have a, your very own mic.
Do I need to have a mic?
Yes, you do. Once again, we will be recording the session this afternoon, so you'll be able to find it on Dharma Seed and re-listen.
Ah, well, I hear you had a wonderful morning, but given who you had it with, I'm not surprised. Joanna has been a force and doing wonderful work for so many years. Actually, coming here and hearing your introduction and is a little reminder of just how much time has passed. But actually, first, I want to thank Anna for making this possible. I, some years ago, gave up doing workshops simply because there aren't enough hours in the day and I wanted to find time to write. But when the email arrived from Anna asking if I'd join you here, it was yes. Like many of you, I've gained so much over so many years from Spirit Rock, and must have spent a year, well over a year, coming on, maybe up to two here, so hiding away without speaking, so it's a pleasant change to actually get to say something here. And so thank you very much for making this possible. And thank you for making Spirit Rock possible. I mean, what a priceless gift. There's probably never in the history of human history been such an exquisite retreat center available to us. Literally, talk about a five-star cave. This is it. Actually listening to your reminisce that we've been knowing each other since the 70s. And while we were just up having lunch, we met a teacher who I used to sit with back at Insight Meditation Center in the 70s, so we hadn't seen each other for almost some 40 years or so. It's like, oh. As it happens, I got an email just 2 days ago with a story of a woman who had not seen someone for a lot of years, and she went to a new dentist, and as she was sitting in the waiting room, she saw his name and his diploma, and you know, gee, it was the same name as a guy she'd had a crush on in high school. And I said, man, well, maybe. But anyway, after she'd had a dental work, she took a look at him when he came in to usher in. He was way too old, so she when he'd finished the work on her, she said, did you go to Colorado State High? And he said, yeah, I was there. Oh, really? So was I. I was there too. And then, she quoted, this old, bald, gray-haired, fat guy asked, what did you teach? So, everyone ages but us. Yeah. So when Anna had asked if I would do something a little personal this afternoon, but before she got that message to me, I had seen the announcement that Spirit Rock had put out, and they had said something like an introduction to Joanna, and in the afternoon we will partake of the wisdom of Walsh, which I thought was wonderful, wonderful alliteration, but a little hopeful, optimistic. But then I got to thinking, well, okay, that would be an interesting thing to explore together, the topic of wisdom. It's been a growing interest over the years, and my wife assures me I'm now old enough that I actually can. It's okay for me to talk about wisdom. And I actually, as Anna said, I have edited two books. One of them, rather illegitimate, it's called Higher Wisdom, which is actually about psychedelic experiences. And the other, as she mentioned, that I've just finished editing The World's Great Wisdom, which is I would not dare to write such, even try to write such a thing myself, but I did have the courage to ask people from the different world's spiritual traditions to summarize what their tradition says about the nature of wisdom and how we can cultivate it, very much hoping that in doing so this would rub off. So I thought it would, so before Anna got to me with the suggestion of doing something more personal, I thought, okay, well, let's play with wisdom then. And let's explore that. And so that's what I'd like to suggest we do this evening, which may be a wonderful compliment to Joanna's Brahma Viharas and those exquisite exercises she does. And so what I'd like to suggest then is we kind of do a co-exploration, that we look at wisdom together with two main themes. One is, what is it? Because if you're here, a significant part of your life is devoted to cultivating it. And second question, how do we cultivate it? How do we cultivate this quality? It's a fascinating question, how we cultivate any virtue. In fact, it's one of the greatest questions of our time. And I think, frankly, humankind is in a race between sagacity and catastrophe, you know, or consciousness and catastrophe. And so one of the great questions of our time is, how do we cultivate the virtues? Because our technology is exploding at such an extraordinary rate that we've now become, that we're now able to literally shape the face of the planet, to the extent that what we actually call our global problems are actually global symptoms. They're symptoms of our individual and collective psycho-spiritual dysfunction. Because our power is so great that what we see in the headlines and the disasters we read about are really expressions of our individual and collective psyches. And so we're a little bit like the sorcerer's apprentice. We have this enormous power, but not so much wisdom, not as much compassion and love as we need. So the question of how do we cultivate the virtues is, I really think, one of the great questions of our time. And how skillfully and successfully we answer it is really going to determine our fate as a species and for the planet too. So wisdom is sometimes described as the meta-virtue, and particularly within Buddhism, there's an understanding that wisdom is what fosters the cultivation of all virtues. Another perspective is, of course, that the virtues are interdependent. In Buddhist psychological or Abhidhamic terms, the positive mental factors arise together. Or in Western philosophical terms, the virtues are interdependent. So they need one another, to balance one another and to complement one another and to foster their cultivation. But wisdom is sometimes seen as foundational. In Mahayana Buddhism, for example, it said that you can't cultivate any virtue to its fullness without cultivating wisdom. Because wisdom sets the ceiling to the development of any virtue. So if you're here, you're in the game of cultivating virtues and cultivating wisdom. So let's explore what this quality might be that we're devoting our lives to and how we might cultivate it. So what I'd like to just begin with is just to ask if you have some paper there, maybe just to write down how you would define virtue, or just to reflect on it for a moment. And actually, maybe a way we could do it would be let's do it in two stages. Because one of the things that will get clear as we discuss wisdom is that deeper wisdom comes the deepest wisdom comes in two stages. There's an intuitive opening or insight or seeing, and then the mind kind of elaborates on that and gives us some understanding. So maybe let's just take a moment and take a moment to sit and be still. Just breathe and relax and release. Breathing in and letting go. Breathing in and letting go. And then when you're ready, just pose the question to yourself, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Good. And when you're ready, just if you'd like to write your definition or understanding of what wisdom is, please do. Write it down. Okay, what have we got? Please.
We have a handheld mic, so that way it will be recorded. Do you want to turn that around?
Hello?
There we go.
Do you want to scribe?
No.
Do you want somebody to scribe?
No, thanks very much. Thanks. Sorry. Yes, thanks for.
I think we're waiting for the mic.
Sorry.
It's working.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To me, it has to do with judgment, knowing what you can do and what you can't do, and in a given situation, knowing about your limits or.
So it sounds like there are two elements in there. One is judgment, and one is a kind of knowledge of oneself. Okay, so we've got judgment, and we've got self-knowledge.
Could you use a black one? That red doesn't show up on the
screen very well. Okay. Thank you. I'm colorblind. None of them show up to me. Okay. Thank you. And judgment is a, let's just take one moment, because judgment is a very tricky, is a very interesting word, and it has, for spiritual practitioners, it has at least three meanings, which usually get confused, so it's worth our while just to differentiate them. Judgment has the meaning of condemnation, and has the meaning of discernment. And they're very different. Judgment, condemnation leads to anger, righteousness, and attack. Discernment leads to wisdom. Okay. And then for meditation practice, judgment also has the sense of any sort of comparing mind. Okay. Yeah. Good.
I wrote down intuitive knowing from experiences and collective knowledge, and knowing from the gut level and the mind together.
Okay, so intuitive knowledge. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. Please.
learning from the lessons of life?
learning from the lessons of life. Okay, so it's a result of learning from the lessons of life. Yeah.
And getting it, not making the same mistakes over and over again, learning how to do it a different way, the cumulative knowledge of just being alive.
Okay. So it comes from life experience. Yeah. Okay. So it's clearly related to life experience. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Be sure to wait for the mic before you start speaking.
Please.
I would define it as the ability to discern the truth in order to align our actions in a way that supports the greater flow of life.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so can you say that again? There was a lot in that.
I started out with discerning the truth in a way that aligns our actions to support the greater flow of life.
Okay, so there are several key things in there. There's insight, again, and there's an alignment with life.
Mm-hmm. And there's action. It's not just some component of action.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're pointing to right action.
Yeah, that would be one way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good. Please.
With a nod to Socrates, awareness of ignorance.
Sorry, awareness?
Awareness of ignorance.
Awareness of ignorance. Ah, yes. the one mental quality that never seems to disappear, yes. Yeah. So... Again, and pointing to limits there. So, awareness of limits and ignorance. Limits and ignorance. Okay, good. Oh, sorry.
I wrote down experience balanced with innocence, that there's this sense of wisdom coming from years and years of practice, but it also has to be balanced with this innocence at looking at things with a certain kind of freshness and child's eyes.
Nice, kind of Suzuki's beginner's mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So experience. And innocence. And you're pointing to something very important there, which seems to be balance. Okay. So we have lots of qualities here. Anyone else want to add anything?
There's some in the back.
This pulls a little bit from what others have said. Insight into the way things really are. Awareness of suffering, impermanence, and ignorance as avenues for letting go.
Okay. So seeing into the way things are. So kind of clear or accurate seeing of reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, clear seeing.
Clear seeing. Yeah, so that's a theme that has come up, mm-hmm. that in some way, wisdom is a function of seeing clearly and deeply mm-hmm. into reality.
Right.
Yeah.
With a focus on, I think, which allows one to let go.
Allows one to let go. So it's related then to, so it allows one to let go. Yeah, very interesting. It seems like the more accurately we see ourselves in the world, the more virtues seem to be natural and appropriate ways of living. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, great. Nice.
Just to add one thing onto, I've heard a lot of people talk about knowledge that's gained through experience, but also knowledge that's passed down from elders or through generations. So it's not always stuff that we learn just on our own. Sometimes it's taught.
Yeah, and if you're wise, you learn from other people's experience.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't.
without having to go through it yourself. Right. Yeah. Maybe one more.
I had a hard time at the beginning saying what it was, but I felt like I could describe it. I felt wisdom always takes the long view of things. And it makes room for everybody at the campfire. If you think about what this woman was just saying about collective history and knowledge, one of the beauties of human wisdom is that everybody's included. And it's usually the result, too, I think, of a lot of hard work.
Yeah, so big picture and inclusive. Yeah.
I think it teaches us how to be in the world, is what I would say wisdom is.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Okay. So we've got several things to work with here and play with. I want to suggest we do an exercise now. And this will give us a chance to take the big view that you just suggested, and that was implied in some of the other things there. And what I want to do is just do a guided meditation. Okay. Let's begin with just relaxing. And so maybe we can just play with a few tricks for relaxation. Begin by taking some slow, deep breaths. And as you breathe slowly and deeply, notice that the inhalation is an active process in which the muscles around the chest and shoulders and diaphragm contract, but that the exhalation is simply a letting go. That is, you breathe in actively, and then you can just let go. So you breathe in and let go. Breathe in and let go. There's an interesting little trick that deepens relaxation, and that is if you allow a sound to emerge on the out-breath like a sigh, you probably notice it deepens significantly. So breathe in. Let go. Breathe in. Good. And once more. Breathe in. Notice that there's with each out-breath, there's an automatic tendency for the muscles around the chest and shoulders to release and relax. And for that relaxation to spread out into the arms, up into the neck, and down into the abdomen and pelvis. And to just extend down into the legs. So already we've discovered one of the great secrets of relaxation, that relaxation isn't something you do, it's something you allow. Now I'm going to ask you to visualize or think of something. And from this relaxed place, just allow your mind to create whatever sense or images are appropriate. I'd like you to think of a long time. Think of a long time. And think of a time that's longer than that. And one that's longer still. Now think of a time that's significantly longer than that. Now think of a really long time. And double it. And think of a time that's even longer still. And now think of eternity. Think of eternity. And from that eternal perspective, look back on your life. And from that eternal perspective, what are you? What are you? And from that eternal perspective, what really matters? And from that eternal perspective, what is your relationship with other people? And from that eternal perspective, What do you want to do with your life? And when you're ready, bring your awareness back to the room and open your eyes. And find someone near you to just take a couple of minutes to share your experience with.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.